So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 7, entitled The Killing of the Demon Trinavata. Texts 8 and 9. Text 8 doesn't have a purport, so I shall read the translation. When Mother Yasoda and the other ladies who had assembled for the Utana festival and all the men headed by Nanda Maharaj saw the wonderful situation, they began to wonder how the handcart had collapsed by itself. They began to wander here and there, trying to find the cause, but were unable to do so. Text 9. The assembled cowherd men and ladies began to contemplate how this thing had happened. Is it the work of some demon or evil planet? They asked. At that time, the children present asserted that the cart had been kicked apart by baby Krishna. As soon as the crying baby had kicked the cart's wheel, the cart had collapsed. There was no doubt about it. Purport by Stamangres Bhamapada. We have heard of people's being haunted by ghosts, having no gross material body. A ghost seeks shelter of a gross body to stay in and haunt. Ashakatasura was a ghost who had taken shelter of the handcart and was looking for the opportunity to do mischief to Krishna. When Krishna kicked the handcart with his small and very delicate legs, the ghost was immediately pushed down to the earth and his shelter dismantled. As already described, this was possible for Krishna because he was full of potency, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Anangi yasya shakala indriya vittamani Pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sadujvara vigrahasya govindam mari purusham samaham bhajami. Krishna's body is Satchitananda vigraha or ananda chinmaya ras vigraha. That is, any part or parts of the body of his ananda chinmaya body can act for any other part. Such are the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord does not need to acquire these potencies. He already has them. Thus, Krishna kicked with his little legs and his whole purpose was fulfilled. Also, when the handcart broke, an ordinary child could have been injured in many ways. But because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he enjoyed the dismantling of the cart and nothing injured him. Everything done by him, Ananda Chinmaya Ras, is full of transcendental bliss. Thus Krishna factually enjoyed. The nearby children saw that actually Krishna had kicked the wheel of the cart, and this was how the accident happened. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, all the gopis and gopas thought that the accident had happened and taken place because of some bad planet or some ghost. But in fact, everything was done by Krishna and enjoyed by him. Those who enjoy the activities of Krishna are also on the platform of Ananda Chinmaya Ras. They are liberated from the material platform. Bahunam Jamanamante Ganavam Bhajite. So, those who have taken many, many births in the material world, they come to understand that Krishna is all in all, Krishna is supreme, and that this is where everything is coming. When one devotee, when one develops the practice of hearing Krishna Katha, he is certainly transcendental material existence, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sargunan Samichatan Brahma Briyaya Kalpate. Unless one is on the spiritual platform, one cannot enjoy the transcendental activities of Krishna. Or in other words, whoever engages in hearing the transcendental activities of Krishna is not on the material platform, but on the transcendental spiritual platform. So if Krishna is everything, sarva karana karanam, then all knowledge is within him. And we should be able to find the answers to everything in him. How is this done? This is done through Shastra. Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Because all the answers are there. Sri Shupanishad mentions that This world is completely perfect, and all emanations from it are also completely perfect and whole. So therefore, all answers to life are there in Shastra. Ashish Upanishad is actually part of the Yajurveda. So from the Vedas, we are to understand that Krishna is knowable. All things come from Krishna. All things rest upon him as pearls are strung on a thread. Mata paratanam nanyat kinchid asti dananjaya. We should thus be able to find the answers to whatever we want to know. Krishna is Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedas. Vedascha sava aham eva vedyo vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. Vedair, by the Vedas, sarvair, all, eva vedya, certainly knowable. Vedantakrit, the compiler of Vedanta. Vedavit, the knower of the Vedas. Eva chaham, certainly I am. Jai, Shishivara Gokulananda, Hare Krishna. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Nigama Kalpataro Galatim Valamidam. Nigama means Vedic literature, and it is Kalpataro. Kalpataro means desire tree. Whatever knowledge you want, you will get it. Antena Chakchena Bunjita. We will come to this later. So, we've just returned from the glorious temple of Sri Vrindavan in Italy, where there was a European agricultural conference. Many devotees were there from all over Europe, and it was headed by the Minister of Agriculture came from India. And this temple is a glorious, glorious place. It is absolutely a massive temple. I don't know if any of you have been there. But it is, building-wise, probably twice the size of Bhaktivedanta Manor. And it is built, it is known as a Machiavellian castle. On the road going up to it, there is a big signpost saying Machiavellian Hotel, which is not our temple, but there were two built in this area. And the other one was built, Machiavellian, the philosopher, built this, and built both of them, I believe. And the other one's open as an international hotel with all its beautiful grounds and surroundings. The views are absolutely stunning. And people come and visit this from all over the world. Excuse my voice, I'm recovering from a bit of a cold. So our temple is very similar. I didn't get to go to see this other hotel, but this temple is so massive and so well maintained. Every room, every corridor has brilliantly tiled shower, bath, hot water, everything running nicely. You get lost in the building going through, trying to find one place to another. But the grounds are all surrounded with these beautiful displays of terracotta pots, concrete vases, huge pots, Alibaba pots you can climb into, overlooking this stunning view for miles and miles and miles. But there's nothing much growing there. The facility is there, and we are not doing. So therefore, our agricultural mission is to bring about this fertility to the land of our temples, of our farms. And this is a science that I've spent 20 years studying, which we discovered in the British Library. I have to tell you the story. One devotee, Bhakti Simon, he took me by force almost to the library in Y College, Kent, 20 years ago. And we went down there and he said, you must see this writings, you must see in the reference library this chap called Albert Howard. So I went down with him and we found this literature and we opened the book. And the first thing I read was, a farmer can make all his own fertilizer for free. So I thought, wow, that's wonderful. So I never put the book down because I came from an agricultural family did agricultural college and all these things, and was amazed to have read this sort of locked up in a reference library, because I'd never heard this outside in the outside world. So, studying this for many years, it has now become apparent, and practicing it in farms, different places over the years, that it is a wonderful system that employs everything that we throw away and makes it into fertilizer. This is the most incredible thing. This is actually a piece of Vedic knowledge. In fact, when we met the head of the new Govardhan farm from Australia in August this year in New Mayapur, he said this is like a lost Veda. So there are many such literatures lost. I found a Veda on trees called Rikshaya Veda once, a little book on trees deep in the library, and it was amazing what it said you could do to a tree in certain ways, looking after trees to produce enormous fruits. Because in the Vedas, in the previous yugas, trees bore enormous fruits. Every tree bore fruit like this. Now we have so many trees that don't produce in Kali Yuga. But of course, the alternative people are finding out that there are more and more useful things that, than the average person knows about. Like acorns, for instance, are a fruit. You can make flour out of them. You can make bread from acorns. So these things are there. And we have to find out more and more about them, because if we're going to survive into the future, we have to be prepared for economic collapse. Collapse of society. We shall be finding these verses shortly, because it's all predicted in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and other places. and it is about chena chakchena bunjita. So you might have heard about Venezuela. I don't know if any of you heard about Venezuela. It's already collapsed. 4 years now, it's been going down and down. The children are leaving school, they can't even read. So they don't put it on the news very much because they don't want people to know. Venezuela is already collapsing. It's a very dangerous place to live. People have been advised, because it takes 2 years work to get a plane ticket out of there. That's how bad the economic situation is. So they've been advised to walk out of the place. And lucky ones have. So this chena chakchena bunjita, are they doing chakchena chena bunjita, or are they not doing tena chakchena bunjita? Who knows the answer? This is a line from one of our songs from our first records, which we released, The Goddess of Fortune. And it's a line from the Ishapanishad that says, those who are taking more than their allotted quota are sinful. So this is what's happened. So the answer is they're not doing chena chakchena bunjita. So they're taking more. This is what's happened to the government. The governments are corrupt, Prabhupada says. We read this all the time. They're taking more than their allotted share. They are taking so much. It's an oil-rich country. They're taking so much out. The people have nothing. The same happened in Haiti. When we went to Haiti 2010, after the earthquake, several devotees were there. There was quite a big group of devotees there from different countries. we found out that there's only four families that run the whole country. And every time they ask for money, like they put it in the post office, donate money here to the government, to the post office, put it into the account, big push to raise money. They sent it all to the government of Haiti, who took it all out of the country. And they're still living in tents. All these years later, they're still living in tents, suffering. So it's about leaders and about their mood mood of generosity. Are they really trying to help the people? Because this is what we need. This is what we need to succeed in society. We have to have generous leaders. So Vedic knowledge can save us from the greatest danger. First canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva is the empowered plenary portion, incarnation of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. He descended by his causeless mercy to deliver the fallen souls in the material world. The fallen souls and forgotten souls are detached from the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself explains that there is no other paratattva, summum bonum, in the universe. Therefore, Vyasadeva worships him. Translation and purport. Your goodness has perfect vision. You yourself can know the supersoul, the personality of Godhead, because you are present as the plenary portion of the Lord. Although you are birthless, you have appeared on this earth for the well-being of all people. Please, therefore, describe the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, more vividly. So this lecture is picking up from words from Vyasaki. And he said that in his lecture that cow protection, Krishi Goraksha Vajanam, this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. We have to have this in order to promote Brahminical culture and maintain Brahminical culture. And if we are going to get, if we can take cow dung and grow healthy, strong fruits and vegetables and grain, we will be able to survive. And Dinabandhu Prabhu came from India, and he also said, the opulence is here at the manor. The opulence is not in the city, the skyscrapers and cars. It is the trees, the grass, and the cows. So this was his description. But looking into these things in great depth over 10 years, it's become apparent that actually it is, on the face of it, a very opulent thing to see trees and cows and grass. But due to the state of fertility of the land, the cows are not getting the nutrition they require. There's not enough grass. There's short grass. I don't know if any of you have been to Glastonbury. When you go to Glastonbury Festival, you see Michael Livis's farm with great, long, waving grass like this. This is cow fodder. Our cows have very short grass, and we have to buy massive amounts of hay to feed them. So therefore, this needs to be addressed. This can be addressed. And this science of soil remediation, which is what I call it, is a way of doing this by increasing the potency of all the things we throw away and turning them into something useful. There is, for instance, the Goshala, another big tree dying. We have one big tree, hundreds of years old, just died. Why was that? It's because before they put a concrete plinth for the dung, all the effluent ran off and killed the tree down by the road. So we had to cut it down. And now there's another big tree in a similar condition that's suffering very badly. We can observe this tree and see it looks like it's dying. So we don't want to lose these trees because they're part of the opulence. On our farm over at Well End, there are many outreach farms, if you like, ISKCON outposts, and our little farm is two villages away from here. We don't have any connection to electricity, water, gas, no mains. And we have our program there. It's all filled with devotees. We have about 8 or 10 members, and they come, and we have our post and rail buildings made very simply, our post and rail and metal. And we have all our fires are made from the twigs that fall from trees. This is the opulence of woods. So trees have a fantastic value. We don't cut any wood. Just by having a wood, we don't have to cut wood to keep warm, to cook, like this. So we see many temples cutting big piles of wood in this festival. And this is depleting the forests of the world. But there are ways and technology that you can avoid cutting wood to get fuel. So how can we fully realize this opulence? It's the principle of Tena Chakchena Bunjata. By taking that which is only our quota as stated in the Isha Upanishad, this is the science by which we will become opulent. So if we want to know what our quota is, then we have to look at Veda. Because we're thinking, oh, we haven't enough. Oh, we haven't got enough. So I'll take more. I'll take some more of this. I'll take some more of that. But actually, this is actually causing suffering. So if we look at Veda and find out what our quota is, or what parts of our quota might be, we will be satisfied. We will have everything we need. So this science of soul mediation is actually opening the door to great opulence. Huge amounts of food can be produced at this particular temple. At least 20 times the amount of food we grow could be grown here all the time. So this is, how is this done? In Vedic times, it's obviously not done with machines. We don't advocate buying tractors and big machines, but rather people. So it's about community. It's about community effort. If everybody points their energy towards the farm, not that they all have to go there, but all the departments that produce things can send them there. And this is happening. We are finding things turning up at our little site at the Goshala. Absolutely wonderful, blissful when you walk in and see someone has deposited something there. They have thrown it there rather than throwing it into the municipal skips and the bins that the council take away and we have to pay for, you see. So this is depleting opulence. So we take it down there and we transform it by this Vedic process into this most amazing fertilizer. Now, about five devotees went to a conference in Oxford a few years ago called the Oxford Real Farming Conference. About five devotees were there. And it was all the alternative people in the UK who attend this conference. And it's actually more people there than the National Farming Conference, which is held at the same time in Oxford. This is because the alternative systems are becoming more popular than the conventional systems. Even the conventional systems are saying, we are losing our fertility at such a rate, we have 100 harvests left. They're telling us, 100 years, and then we're finished. No more food produced. They're saying that. They don't have an answer, but they're saying that. And in East Anglia, I went over there recently to a college. I lecture at different colleges and places, but they have this thing called short straw. You see, the grain is 1 foot high. It used to be, when I was at school, 4 feet high in every field. Big corn, big grain. And they're very proud that they bred it short. And I asked, I said, why have you bred it short? They said, oh, well, if we just change the breed and we get it shorter, we produce heavier ear of corn. Rather, the energy goes into the ear of corn rather than the straw. But this is actually a very minimal amount of difference. But what they have done is they've bred out 3/4 of their fertility in this system. And they've changed the genus of the wheat. And so everybody's ill because of this. This is one big reason why there's so much obesity, so much malnutrition. And malnutrition is described by the great experts as the first stages of starvation. So if our food isn't good, we can't survive very long. We will live shorter lives. They're saying, oh, people are living longer. They like to say this, yeah, on machines, you know, ticking machines. But the point is, there are more degenerative diseases now than there ever was before. They are not curing these problems. They are not curing these problems. These problems are cured from the soil. Now, we all know about the value of cow urine. As a medicine, they sell it, we sell it, it's a good thing. It's wonderful, you can distill it, it's very, very strong. But nobody really knows, as far as I've found, much about how cow urine is the most wonderful fertilizer if you treat it right. So it's a commodity that's there and is being thrown away. It gets washed down drains. is thrown away. We don't appreciate. So that's reducing our quota. The potential of our quota is being thrown out. You see? And that's why we always want more. We always want more. There was one publication that came from this conference that came from India, the Farmacharya, who is none other than Krishna himself. Krishna was born in a Vaishya family. Nanda Maharaj was a Vaishya. And all Krishna did was herd cows. And his brother Balaram tilled the soil, you see, with the cows. So this is how they are the example of the teachers of the world, the Farmacharya. Because this is how you survive into the future, how you survive in any of the yugas. So, we need a great more self-sufficient communities in this movement if we are going to make an impact into the future. Because when things collapse, we're going to be suffering greatly, and we're going to be no different from everybody else. If we don't have these farm communities, they will back up our city temples. And when I first went to Australia, I got taken to the Sydney Temple, wonderful program. A lot of people, a lot of visitors from the big city of Sydney, wonderful. Everyone would come in. It was very well situated. All the tourists would come from all over the world to see Sydney Opera House and all the sights of Sydney. And a lot of them would get into the temple. They would bring them into the temple. And then at the end of the day, they'd put them in a bus and take them to the farm. Big farm, Yugovardhan. And there, they would make many devotees. Because those who got on the bus were people who had some kind of spiritual inclination, some inquiry after a day in the temple. Yeah, what is this all about? How can you say that you are going to save us from the calamities of the future? So they get on the bus and they come to the temple. And we make devotees. And that's how we expand this movement. That is the best way to expand this movement. Because otherwise, we're going to have too many intellectuals. Well, that may be. That's good. But too many without the other people on the other side balancing it all up with our food supply, with our agriculture, with our cow protection, we get a top-heavy society. So this is the mission now from the Ministry of Agriculture in India, that we are linking with all these outside communities. It says in this little book, it's written by an Indian, Radhamadav Das, and he says, we need to work more with outside people. Because when the collapse comes, if we don't have these farm communities, we're going to be overrun. As Ravindra Prabhu said in his lecture, we are going to be overrun. Because there's very few farm communities. They're just going to see no difference and all the food will be gone. In fact, what happens in Venezuela, for example, is the government commandeers all the food that all the farmers have grown. They immediately take it for the government and distribute it to their men. So they can change the laws at any time. So that we need thousands of farm communities. We need to convert the country into self-sufficient communities where we look after our devotees, where we look after everybody in such a nice way that the outside people will say, wow, this is really wonderful. You don't have leaders who are taking everything. This is going to be big preaching. So in fourth canto, I just want to read a couple of little lines that describe how the Vedas are releasing some knowledge which we may read over and not know what it means. But from the research I've done, one of the main things that improves your health is minerals in the soil. Minerals. it's a fact that the food in Europe these days is now virtually zero in mineral content. Since the war, they've been measuring. It goes down and down and down. So all food coming from ordinary farms, chemical farms, it's all mineral depleted because of their system of farming. So, when you read fourth canto, it says here, the mountains transformed the Himalayas into a calf, and they milked a variety of minerals into a pot made from the peak of hills. This is a very deep spiritual text. And how are we to understand that? Well, we read it. We read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. We join this movement and we read the Bhagavatam and we read it again. Fantastic. But there's so much that we just read as poetry. We don't actually see the depth of the meaning. It takes so much understanding to understand the Vedas, you know, and you spend lifetimes studying Veda. But by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we can understand in more detail. So, the minerals we've discovered are available from volcanoes, right? They're the excess of a rock that is emitted during a volcano, and it's a particular outcrop called basalt. And this contains 72 listed minerals. And the fact that these can go into your food, if you use this rock dust, it can change your health completely. And this was very interesting at Villa Vrindavan to Krishna Shetra Swami and Smita Krishna Maharaj. So they hadn't heard about this, but they're very interested. And the fact is that we can excavate these things, because they're already excavated, from the hills. We get it from Wales, and we bring it in, and we use this. And the devotees at our farm, in two villages from here, they are taking this food and saying, I can notice the difference. I can notice the difference already. So, also, it's a very good cure for the mental state. I'm finding that everybody who may come, including myself, spaced out, not so spaced out. So it's about the food we eat and the water we drink. Yeah? And everything we get from the society, the karmas, the demons, Prabhupada calls, is contaminated. So why are we taking so much from the demons? We should be supplying our own. And the best farms are supplying their own. I've just seen a film from, where was this last film? Forget the temple. I think it's America somewhere. And the devotees, New Vrindavan. We take all our vegetables from this farm. Very big farm. I've been to New Vrindavan. It's a very large place. And they take all their food from there. And their consciousness is very much affected by this, because it's pure. Prabhupada said, if you grow your own food, it is 100 times better than food found in the marketplace. Yeah? So that's a lot of times. Okay? So why are we taking so much from karmas, from demons? We shouldn't be relying on them. We should be aiming at trying to supply our own food. We have all this land, a lot of it sitting there full of weeds. So this is actually a very good move to improve this movement all over the world. It's described that if you do this system of ploughing, which comes from Lord Balaram, Lord Balaram has a plough which is very small and thin. And he is sitting there patiently, millennia after millennia, presenting this plough. Yeah, but we are not observing. We are doing what the Westerners do, which is deep ploughing. Why are we doing deep ploughing? Anybody know? We're doing deep ploughing. But Balaram never does this. So therefore, we have to take some advantage, some understanding about these things. They're there in the Veda. We wash Krishna with cow dung. That should tell us something about cow dung, the value of it. But as it is in its raw state, it's very, very strong. And for plants, it can kill. I've seen in Mayapur, they had a big bed of rice, a nursery rice paddy, and they're growing all this rice. And at the time, they just developed this new channel coming out of the goshala to wash away the cow dung, keep it nice and clean. And it all went down into the rice paddy and killed all the rice paddy. So, you know, this wasn't so long ago. And we've been around 50 years now. So we're still finding out, we're still researching into these things what to do. So, this verse here. The cows, having eaten sufficient green grass, supplied profuse quantities of milk, food, clarified butter, and similar other necessities. So this is what the cow should be doing and can do if she has sufficient grass, long grass. Cows actually eat long grass, right? Horses eat shorter grass. Sheep eat even shorter grass. So, but our cows are on the sheep's grass all the time. They're nibbling at the short grass. So we have to try and change this, because this is where the milk and the health of the cow is coming from. If the milk and the dung of the cow is not getting this nutrition, we will suffer. So this is one thing in agriculture that we can aim to improve. And this is our system we're doing here at the manor. And it's been very well received. So another verse from the fourth canto. My dear king, this is Maharaj Prithu, who is actually Krishna himself. He appears on the planet when the planet is in desperate times. Krishna appears. So he says, the seeds, the roots, the herbs and grains, which were created by Lord Brahma in the past, are now being used by non-devotees who are devoid of all spiritual understanding. Lord Brahma created the material world for the use of the living entities, and it was created according to a plan that all living entities who might come into it to dominate it for sense gratification would be given directions by Lord Brahma in the Vedas in order that they might ultimately leave it and return home back to Godhead. All necessities grown on earth, namely fruits, flowers, trees, grains, animals, animal byproducts, were created for the use in sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. However, the planet Earth is in the shape of a cow. Herein submits that all these utilities are being used by non-devotees who have no plans for spiritual understanding. Prabhupada says there are many kinds of atheists. And an atheist is someone who does not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's Prabhupada's one definition of an atheist, is someone who does not accept that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that puts different religious classes into that category, actually, unfortunately. Although there are immense potencies within the earth for the production of grains, fruits, and flowers, this production is checked by the earth itself when it is misused by non-devotees who have no spiritual goals. So therefore, the land we're on has been used for thousands of years. Kali Yuga has been going on 5,000 years without the knowledge of Treta Yuga. So the land is depleting all over the world now. It's described only 5,000 years into Kali Yuga that the soils of the world are depleting so seriously that I met some very interesting people, came to our farm. We have a lot of visitors to our farm, I must say. And this was a group that were connected with this author, this chap, Howard, over 100 years ago. And Howard worked with the chief in the British Army of nutrition. He was a major general in the British Army. McCarrison, his name was. And they went up the Himalayas. They went up to different places studying the tribes of the people and how they ate and lived and farmed to find out about nutrition. They were both into nutrition. So they went up to one valley in the Himalayas, and there was a tribe called the Hunzikruts there. And they were next to another valley, and another valley on the other side of other farmers who were all doing very bad farming. They were just wasting everything and just taking what they could from the soil, and they would die, had disease and dying. But the Hunzikruts were not doing this. They were living very meticulously, taking everything and turning it into fertilizer. Nothing was wasted, right? And they were found to be living 140 years old. And they were cooking in ghee and water. And drinking, incidentally, glacial water. So they had the advantage of glacial water, which is also full of minerals. So They discovered this, and then the McCarrison Society was formed, and I discovered quite recently that it's still going on, 100 years later. I had no idea. And somehow or other, I got in contact with this group, and the head of this group came to our farm in 2015. And they all came up, and a lot of them are authors on such books as The Origin of the Species. Right? They're out and out evolutionists. Fine, but what we can do is give them prasad. So I knew they were coming. There was a whole load of them coming, so I got all ready. I came round to the Radharani's bakery, got maha sweets, cut them up, put them in a little box. They all got there, and because when you're trying to talk without a lot of people around, it's very difficult to cook prasad. So I said, well, in lieu of having a lot of people here today, we will just give out these sweets made by a friend's mother. And they all took it very nicely. Oh, it's homemade, very nice. So they had prasad. These people, top doctors, top scientists. How would they have got the chance to take prasad? Very unusual thing. So this particular Professor Crawford is a lecturer at the Imperial College London, still at 94 years old. This is their nutrition mission. He's flying around the world at 94, alone, picking up awards for his medical achievements. And he agrees with this thing about minerals. So he invited me to the Royal Society of Medicine. And we discussed there how he could help with his endeavors, because they had a hospital in Uganda for 30 years. How, you know, we could do work there, because they had found, for example, in the northern area of Uganda and southern Sudan, there was such soil depletion that even the milk was so deficient that the children were growing malnourished. Severe malnutrition across the area. So you might have milk, you might have fruits, vegetables, but if they're depleted in their minerals, the people will not develop. He even then invited me to the Royal Society, which is down by Clarence House. And that is the eminent, the place where the eminent scientists of the world lecture. And there was a lecture he gave with all his other associates, with all their research over the last 30 years in Africa, how this depletion of the soil minerals is causing mental illness. Mental illness, I might have you know, is the worst problem in the UK. It's probably the most feared problem in all the world, because if you don't have mental stability, you can do unpredictable things. And their graphs showed over all the countries over 30 years how the levels of nutrition were measured. England was somewhere down here, you know, above or below America, I can't remember. But the worst were the countries in the Middle East and these places in Africa. Hugely deficient food. And he said the only result of this is extreme violence. This we have seen already. So they are saying this over their study of 30 years. And he even went into the state of the mother's nutrition at a natal stage and the prenatal stage. If this nutrition is not right, your child will never develop its full capacity. So everyone is now becoming more stunted, more prone to mental illness because of the food we eat. This is very revealing. This is coming from Shastra, because Krishna is saying these things are in the Shastra. And here in text 7, praise of King Prithu by the professional reciters, everything will collapse and there will be chaos and disturbance all over the world. So we are newing this situation, because in the last so many years we've seen collapse of so many countries. The leaders are corrupt, they can't, and then other groups come in and there's chaos. So that's the refugee problem, that's where that's coming from, because there's so much corruption ultimately going on. And we have to provide sources of haven, shelter, you see, as an alternative. So this movement It's not just for us. We think, oh, we're doing very nicely here. Great opulence. But it's actually for everybody else as well. We have to give them shelter. Prabhupada says, if we have these farm communities dotted around the world, we will envelop the world with Krishna consciousness. Because it's the easy way to understand, to come to understand Krishna. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam. Krishna translates bhajatam. Who knows the meaning, the word bhajatam? Anybody? Prabhupada translates bhajatam as devotional service. So, if we can give these people the opportunity to do some service, they will then become involved in this movement. They will get some higher taste, right? And the easiest way to do that is through farm communities. It is also said in other places in the Shastra, not everyone's going to chant Hare Krishna, right? Not everyone's going to become Sar Mahatma Sadulaba, right? The very rare great soul. But if we can engage the communities in Varnashram, then we will have a system where we can change the future of the planet. This is the beginning of the Golden Age. The Golden Age is beginning with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It has already begun. And there have been different predictions of how this is happening. Victor Schoberger was a great alternative water engineer, and he said when the rivers, the Rhine and the Rhone and the Danube, have gone back to their natural course without all the concrete and dams and diverting the rivers for their own purposes, that is when the Golden Age will start. So when collapse comes, all these things will change because there won't be any oil, there won't be any electricity. Yeah? And our question is, are we ready? Are we ready? We should ask ourselves, are we ready? We've got a long way to go to be able to survive and give shelter to other people. What to speak of our own devotees? Right now, in England, we don't have a farm community where devotees live. So many devotees around London. And they're dotted here and there. They're paying exorbitant rents. They've got to survive. And they have to pay their rent. So we need an economic solution, which is actually coming from this one program, one solution that can aid these devotees is this fertility program. We're doing it Bhaktivinoda Samana. Because we can sell this stuff in bags. We are selling at £20 per bag, which is £1,000 per ton. And how many tons of manure do the cows put out on this? About 60 tons a year, at least. So this is money. This is material that is being thrown out. And we are reducing our quota. Chena chak chena bunjita. We are losing out on our quota. So we don't know what our quota is. We can become very wealthy from using this material on our own fields and farms to prolong our life, prolong our health, right? Which gives us sanity, which gives us everything we want about happy life. And we can use it to make Lakshmi to pay the bills. So everyone has to pay rent. So we're not at a stage where we can have moneyless societies. There are moneyless societies. Tanzania, there are tribes who live without money. Very wonderful. You know, they trade everything. But they all live there and they have their land. We don't have the land. We don't live there. So we can't live in a moneyless society. We are very far from that. So we have to provide an economy. And Prabhupada was very keen on this. He said we have to be able to provide for everybody, and any extra that we have, we can trade like that. So it's important that we do this, because where is our future going? How many devotees have we made over the last 50 years? And how many devotees are still around doing some form of bhajatam pratipurvakam? You see, this is the question. Because without Varnashram, we're not going to actually maintain that much. We'll have a nice front. We have wonderful preaching, great things. But if people don't feel that they're being satisfied in their life, they will go away from this movement. You see? So the Daivi Varnashram system is so wonderful because it means everyone can do according to their talent, according to their need, according to all our needs, their talent, whatever they can do, we do for Krishna. So we have to develop this. We've been saying, oh, we have to chant Hare Krishna to find out our Varna. We've been hearing this for many years. But if we look at the Daivi Varnashram system, a devotee, a Vaishnav, can do anything to fulfill the need. So therefore, we're going to have to take the lead in society. There's going to be nobody out there telling us how to run anything. I'm a member of this group called the All Parliamentary Group on Agroecology at the House of Commons. And it is run by Baroness Milner of Chilthorne Doma, no less. Great title they get. I said to her after one of these conferences, but how is it that the Minister of Agriculture 2 months ago was the Minister of Housing? What does he know about farming? She said, you know, I've never thought of that. So this is the problem. The whole society is wandering around like a headless chicken, not knowing anything about anything. And they're thinking they're solving the problems. But this is the nature of material life. You just don't solve the problems. You actually come up with solutions and you create more problems. The Vedic solution is that you use one Vedic principle and you solve many problems. This is a Vedic solution. So this fertility thing is going to solve so many problems, from the need for food, which cuts all your costs, because what everyone's doing, they're going to work on a train in a car for hours and hours to earn some money to go to the store and buy food. Most of your budget goes on food, isn't it? Or rent, mostly rent probably. But a lot of it's on food. So if we have farm communities, we don't have any of these problems. Immediately that's solved. And the health problems will disappear because we know that cow urine is very good. But if you use urine in a particular way, you put it into earth, which is what Howard did, and nobody is doing in the whole of ISKCON. No one is particularly doing this anywhere in the world from my travels in the last 20 years. That is the most wonderful fertilizer. And so you're putting cow urine back into the food source. And prevention is better than cure. So this was Howard's thing. His science was called the science of preventative medicine. And he called it the postgraduate study of agriculture. This is very nice. So we can take advantage of this. He spent 30 years in India with the Hindus. And he advocated, yes, we can use the cow dung for fuel. We can use 3/4 of the cow dung for fuel instead of cutting trees. And then we use 1/4 for making the fertilizer. Because you can increase the fertilizer so many times by this method of composting, right, with other materials. So if we have proved, we have weighed the cow dung we take on our farm and we have weighed the output. It is 10 times increased, right? So if that's 10 times increased from the original dung, how many cows did Nanda Maharaj have? Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. So now it's times 10. That is the power of fertility making. So therefore, no one ever had any food problems in the past. People are thinking cows are the cause of, methane production, and it's all bad news. But actually, no, everything else is causing methane by chucking it in the ground and rotting. There's no methane produced from compost. None. This is very interesting. So therefore, we have a Vedic science. And all we need to do is communicate with the devotees. We've actually proposed, some of the bhaktas have said, yes, we can have Ishtagoshti. Let's have an Ishtagoshti. Get all the departments aware of what's going on. There's not everybody here at all today, this lecture. But all over the temple, different departments can contribute and send their goods to the fields where we turn it into fertilizer, and then the cows get health and they will not have arthritis. They will produce more milk Which is what we want, because that's what Krishna wants. Right? If we simply do these simple things, the quota, the tena chakchena bunjita, will go up. Our realized quota, our allotted quota goes up. We don't know what it is. And so we're taking from other places. But it's realizing these simple things that we have to do. So there's many things we can do, and certainly Istagosti is one of them. And that would be a very inspiring thing, because everybody on the ground wants to do this. Everybody we've met, every department is helping, cooperating. It's a wonderful thing. And when we reduce our bills, why are we paying the council to take it all away? Now we can turn it into fertilizer. So this is great. And I think I ought to stop there, because the time is running short. But there are many, many things we can talk about in this vein which will benefit this movement and increase the health of the devotees.